You're going to need your Bibles today, okay? I'm going to do a brief review. If you could put the PowerPoint up, we're going to do a brief review, but then we're going to dig into God's Word. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 1 again. We're looking at the believer's identity in Christ, and we're going to go even deeper today with that. And this is our theme verse we've been using all year long. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus said this just after his baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, lighted upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And at the end of Jesus' ministry in John 20 said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Every single one of us in this room have been sent. Every single one of us has been sent. Have you seen the back of our sign out there? You know, it says one thing coming in, but when you leave, it says, I believe it says, entering your mission field, going into your mission field. Every one of us have been sent. Every one of us are missionaries. Every one of us have been sent out to announce the good news. And what does this math symbol mean? Now, everyone read this together. You're going to help save my voice. Everyone read this together. The Spirit of the Lord. Now, did everyone read that? Are y'all going to be Aryans, or are y'all going to be hypocrites this week? Or are you going to do it? How sneaky, huh? Didn't even know you were doing it. We all read it. I hate reading and singing songs that I don't agree with. Amen? You know, it says we're raise our hands. It wasn't this morning, but someone said raise your hands to work. And we're there like, I wonder what God thinks about that. Man, I'm going to have us say this again. If you can't say this with intensity and purpose, wanting to do it, don't read it. You got me? So if you don't want to do this, don't read it. Because let's say it unto the Lord if you mean it. Please join me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because he has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? We're missionaries. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Now, how does this happen? Now, you can't take people where you haven't been. You cannot take people where you haven't been. Pastor Trevor, he was working on his car. You know, one of his vehicles broke down while he was away, and he was here working on it. And he said, you got a minute to take a look at it. I can take a look at it, but I've never worked on one of those. I can't take you where I haven't been. I gave him some general principles. They were probably useless. But I couldn't tell him how to fix that rascal because I've not been there. I haven't worked on that vehicle or one like it. You can't take people where you haven't been. We can't take people where we haven't been. We teach what we know, we reproduce who we are. We teach what we know, we reproduce who we are. This week, I've just been asking God, please continue to transform my heart. That's how people are going to pray to receive Jesus Christ. That's how people are going to see a difference in your life. When there is a difference in life, when Jesus is abiding in us and us in him, people will see it and want that. Do people want to be like you right now? I hope so. As we are walking in intimacy with God, and then we simply invite others to do the same. I can just tell you that most of the people that I've led to the Lord over the years, they've asked me. I haven't had to be beating them over the head with the Bible. I haven't had to be aggressively attacking them with the four spiritual laws, five hops to heaven and all that good stuff. Those are all good things. They've asked me, you're different. How can you have peace? How can you this? Why is that? What's going on? I don't understand. They will ask, and we just tell them, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And here's how you can come to know him. That should be happening in my life. It should be happening in your life. If it's not, something's broken. And it ain't God. It's not Him. And it's not the world. Is the world messed up and on its way to a Christless eternity? Please say amen. They're doing their job. They're doing it well. They're doing it really well. Are we being salt and light? Yeah, today I'm going to meddle. We're going to get into the Word of God. This is the brief review. If you're taking notes, sermon notes are there. And by the way, Tanya was on vacation this week, so if there's errors, spell errors, all that kind of thing, just, oh my, Jeff, you don't know how to spell yet, do you? That's true, I don't. Okay, so if there's errors and stuff, it's all me. It's all me. The first blank is our identity in Christ, who I am. It is so important for us to understand who we are because the enemy doesn't want you to know that. The enemy does not want you to know who you are. He does not want you to know that. And I use Dr. Holland. This is from Dr. Holland. I changed it. Well, you can almost read it now. Who I am, who I think I am, and who I think I ought to be. This is from Dr. Holland. And for us, as you know, humanity's condition is this. Who I am, who I think I'm, there's this huge gap because we're believing the lies of Satan. Our culture, non-Christians are believing the lies of Satan, and they start wearing fig leaves because they know it. They know they don't measure up. They know you got to get this toothpaste to look nice. You got to do this. If you have this, everyone will like you. If you have that, you know, our culture, our economy is based upon needing stuff we don't need. Right? It is. That's the condition. Who I am, who I think I am, who I think I ought to be. Well, for us, this was Jesus. Jesus knew exactly who He was, who He thought He was, and who He thought He ought to be. He was in perfect alignment. And He wants to bring that to our lives as well. He wants to do just that. Jesus' remedy is rather than Satan's lies, believing God's truth and then appropriating Christ's righteousness into our lives. That's Jesus' remedy. And that's what we're going to talk about, especially this right here. What is God's truth? Who does God say I am? Because we need to start believing who God says we are rather than the lies of Satan. I know this is a review. Sanctification, big, big word, simply means set apart for God, being made holy. Who I am, who I think I'm, who I think ought to be, replacing Satan's lies, we grow closer and closer to who we really are. And then we don't have to wear all these masks as we claim Christ's provision. We get healthier and healthier. Jesus' transforming work is God's truth, replacing the lies, and us accepting, receiving, applying Christ's righteousness into our lives. Okay, knowledge. That's the next blank you have. Knowledge itself is not enough. Would everyone please nod your head yes? Does anyone here think you need to lose weight? Anyone with me? I know I need to lose weight. That has nothing to do with reality, though. Nothing to do with reality. I know that I need to eat less and burn more calories. Do we all know how to lose weight? I think we all know. It's pretty simple. But do we do it? Knowledge isn't enough. In all my years of a pastor serving as counselor and other things, at best it's 50%. Some people really don't know the right thing to do. But even then, when they do know the right thing to do, do we do it? Knowledge is not enough. And unfortunately, most Bible studies, most Sunday school classes, most events, even this morning, is primarily knowledge-based. My hope is that the Holy Spirit is here and He is going to meet you, and He's the one that can give you power. Knowledge plus the Holy Spirit and meeting with God transforms your life. Apart from that, knowledge won't get you anywhere. The Pharisees had all kinds of knowledge. In fact, the Pharisees memorized the Scriptures. They memorized the first five books of the law. Anyone here memorized Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy? rote memory. They knew it by heart. Did it do them any good? Knowledge will not change you. It'll make you prouder, make you arrogant. One of my interviews, I sat down, the guy said, okay, start quoting scripture. For God so loved the world. I mean, I went through about 15 or 20 and said, okay, that's enough. How many books of the Bible have you memorized? I haven't memorized any of them. Well, interview's over. I got up and left. That pastor was so adamant. Now, if I was a Bible quizzer, I hired a guy that had 7 books of the Bible memorized. He was a good guy. He was allowing the Holy Spirit to fill him, and God was using that truth to transform his life. Knowledge is not enough. What we need with that is the Holy Spirit to apply the truth to our lives. In my life, these are the two things, the two biggest things. Allowing the Holy Spirit transform me as he applies God's word to renew my mind and change my thinking, because I have stinking thinking. Anyone else here have that? Stinking thinking. The Holy Spirit taking that knowledge and applying it to my heart and life. And then the second thing, and this is review, you know this, encountering God. Encountering God. Now, every time I read God's word, I encounter him. But there are times above and beyond that when I get quiet and alone with God that he reveals himself in such cool ways. It is so cool. Was it cool when God revealed himself to you before your baptism? It is so cool. I just heard, she gave a testimony to me about her baptism, how she sensed she saw Jesus. How cool. You're probably going to remember that for a little while, huh? I know how he's met me in different times. Usually it's either at Presque Isle along the water or in the woods. You just don't forget those things. Just like Jesus didn't forget at his baptism, the Father in heaven said in an audible voice, "This is my beloved Son." Now, all this is free, so this is extra. This is not a part of the in your sermon notes. But just think about it. Who was Jesus? He lived in a town of 400. In a town of 400 or so, does everybody know everyone's business? Did everyone know that he was an illegitimate child? Did everyone know that he was different and weird because he didn't talk back to mom? He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Did everyone tease him? You better believe it. Can you imagine growing up in a town of 400, people knowing you were an illegitimate child? And what did the father say in an audible voice to everyone there? "This is my beloved son. All y'all listen to him." That's Southern. He will do, he wants to do the same thing because he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. He does. But for most of my life in ministry, I was so busy doing for him that I neglected getting quiet and still with him. There's no substitute for it. I'm just telling you, it will juice you. It will energize you. Now, since Lynette's homegoing, God has been almost silent. Apart from reading scripture and preparing for messages, man, it's like he turned it off. I think he's really saying is, how much do you love me? Are you still going to pursue me? I'm going to pursue him if I never hear him again. I'm going to pursue him. And I know the silence is going to be broken sometime, and it'll be cool. But right now, I'm just telling you, man, it's like heaven's doors are shut. Anyone ever have those times? Man, you wonder if you're, I mean, my prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. I'm just being honest. But I know he hears. And I know I think it's just a test. I like passing tests. I am going to pass this rascal by his grace. I'm going to pursue him. If I never hear him again, I'm going to pursue him. Because he's worthy. Applying the truth, and it's the Holy Spirit that must do that, and then encountering God. I know I'm prattling on here. Here's where we're going. We're going to Ephesians chapter 1. So open your Bibles. Whether you have this kind of Bible or you have this kind of Bible, either one. I got both of them. I'm going to use this one, and I already cheated by marking the place. So Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're just going to walk down through this passage. This passage is one of the most powerful passages describing who we are and the blessings that we have. In the very beginning, in verse 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus and the faithful in Jesus Christ. I'm going to use my southern now, all y'all. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're a saint. Next time your spouse gets frustrated at you, just tell them, I'm a saint. Is it the New England Saints? I don't remember. Is that right? New Orleans. It was new something. New Orleans Saints. Just turn and say, hey, I'm a saint. Because it's true. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not a saint. You're not a saint. But if you have, and here's the deal. You're going your way, doing your will. You're playing God in your life. The Holy Spirit convicts you, and you turn. You acknowledge you're a sinner. You repent and say, please forgive me for my sin. I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to seek Jesus. That is salvation. If you have done that, you are a saint. You are a holy one. That's what the Apostle Paul calls you. Saints. Holy ones. That's the next blank in your notes. Holy ones. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a holy one. Go ahead. Do it. And tell them, you're not talking about your clothes or anything, you know. We're not talking about dirty underwear. Holy ones. You are holy ones. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're a saint. You're a saint. You're a saint. Now, there's other faith tribes that think that all this, you have to perform miracles and all that. You're a saint. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are a holy one. You're holy. You are holy. You got that? Now, repetition penetrates the dullest of minds. So my Greek professor told me. Please, this is God's word. God is saying this to you. You are a saint. You're a holy one. And now chapter 2, verse 2. We're just going to go verse by verse. So keep your Bibles open. We're going to go verse by verse. I don't know why I took my specs off. Can't see without them. Can't read without them anyway. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. You are recipients of grace and peace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. He loves you. He delights in you. He wants to bless you. Peace is, I don't care what happens. God's in control. It's okay. It's okay. Did anyone have a bad hair day this week? I got mine cut shorter, so it could only be so bad. It's all good. Because you know what? God is on the throne. We are recipients of grace and peace. That shalom means God's in control. God's on the throne. He's got this. No matter how bad it is, I'm telling you, he's got this. He's got it. Recipients of grace and peace. And it only keeps on getting better. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You've been blessed in Christ. How many of them have you been blessed with? What's it say? How many of them? Every one of them. Every one of them. It doesn't say one or two. Every spiritual blessing. I wonder how many there are. A billion or a trillion? Either way, it's a lot. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you've been blessed in Christ because of Jesus Christ's finished work. Now, I brought my friend along here to help. He's going to help. Because most of us feel like would it. Hey, when he looks in the mirror every day, he's not real impressed. In fact, he gets depressed. You guys, we're just like Woodit. You see, no matter what I tell Woodit, Woodit doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. I think he goes in one ear and out the other. See, we're Woodits. Woodit doesn't realize that he's been blessed. See, Woodit doesn't realize, and then the next verse, verse 4, we were chosen. I told you, so the story goes, I've been told I wasn't there. When I was 6 months old, my dad went to a used toy shop. Woodit was there. He was used. No one chose him. People kept going by. No one chose him. What's that thing? The rejected toys? You know, the Christmas thing? Misfit toys. He was a misfit. Any misfits here? My dad gave either a quarter or 50 cents for him. He brought him home and mom said, what's that doing here? She wanted to throw it away. But I latched on to it. He was chosen. He was chosen. You have been chosen. Now when you look, when Woodit looks at himself, does he think he's chosen? See, he keeps believing the lies, and he keeps looking at the exterior. This poor guy has been through so much. He even had knee surgery when he was real young. He's had so many different coats because they kept wearing out. He actually was like teal. He was first gray, then teal, now he's brown. You guys could take up all the money you have. You go to the bank, get all the money you could borrow, and put it all together, and you could not buy Woodit. Woodit's family to me. He doesn't realize that. He keeps forgetting. I keep telling him, but he doesn't listen real well. He even sits in a chosen place and he doesn't realize it. We are just like Woodit. Now, this next verse. Not only are we're chosen to be what? Holy and blameless. But here's the key. In his sight. Now, when you guys look at Woodit, you laugh at him, don't you? I mean, most of you guys... That flea-ridden thing, I hope the pastor doesn't come close to me with that thing. You look at him and you just can't see it like I see it. But we've been chosen to be holy and blameless in the Father's sight. See, Woodit looks at himself and he can't see that. When I look at Woodit, he's something special. Even when you look at Woodit, you don't think he's anything special. That's because you guys just don't know. People will look at you and think all kinds of things, but they just don't know. God the Father chose you to be holy and blameless. When he looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? When he looks at you, he sees Jesus. Does he love Jesus? Does he love you? Absolutely. And it just keeps getting better and better. We're predestined to be adopted. You've been adopted. He's been adopted. I've told you before, I remember hearing my parents debating about me. No, he's from your side of the family. No, he's from your side of the family. No, he's your side of the family. See, I wasn't adopted. They had to take me. You were adopted. God looked forward in time before the creation of the world, and that's a little bit, that's in here too. Before the creation of the world, he looked forward in time. He saw you with all of your warts, with all of the things, all of it, all of it, all of it. Your deepest, darkest secret that you hope no one will know, the Father knows. And you know what he said? I choose you. You're mine. Your family. Anyone say amen to that? We've been adopted as his sons and daughters. Now, does Woodit know that? Should he know that? But he's a little thick sometimes, just like I am, just like we are, to be adopted as his sons and daughters. There is no one normal in this room. There is no one ordinary in this room. Turn to the person next to you, and if they're a lady, say, you're a princess. If they're a guy, tell them they're a prince, right now. It's the truth. It's the truth. This room is full of princes and princesses, even for siblings. It's true. It's true. They may not act like it, but they are. And that's the problem, because we keep believing the lies of Satan. We keep doing all kinds of crazy things because here's who we think we are and here's who we think we ought to be. So we do all kinds of craziness in between. We are predestined according to the good pleasure. You know, when I was growing up, and I don't know how I missed it, I don't know how I distorted it, but I didn't think it was possible to please God. I honestly didn't. I thought he was just ready to smack me. And I told you, my grandpa, he used to thump us. I mean, he was 6'6", 360 pounds, and he'd thump us. And it would thump you across the room. It was amazing. My mom tells me that the morning he died, I can still close my eyes and remember the morning he died. I don't remember saying this, but my first question was, can Papa thump me from heaven? I got thumped quite a bit. That explains a lot. I got thumped quite a bit. And I thought that it wasn't possible to please God. But you know what? He takes pleasure in you. What's it say? He predestined according to, he chose you, he predestined you according to his good pleasure. He delights in you. He loves you. I know, it's getting late and you're getting tired. Predestined to the praise of his glorious grace. It's about his glorious grace, his glorious grace. Now, would it? Hopefully he will never become proud and arrogant and be haughty with his nose in the air, because it's all about God. It's all about God. It's not about what. It's all about God. The glorious grace he's freely given. He is freely given to those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption. We were lost in sin. Redemption simply means bought back. We've been bought back. We've been bought back. And how were we bought back? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption, we've been bought back. Verse 7. In accordance with God's good, the riches of his glorious grace. And I know at least one person here loves this next part. God's grace, he lavishes on us. He lavishes. Lavishes. That means he just keeps pouring it and pouring it. Literally, he graces us with his grace. He graces us with his grace. Verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. There's actually a transition here that's pretty cool. in verse 9 and the next verses. So everyone got that mystery and his good pleasure again? It is possible to please God. In him, we were chosen, the first to hope in Christ. Who was putting their hope in Jesus Christ? Who was putting their hope toward Jesus Christ? The Israelites. So in this verse, these verses, Paul's talking about the true Israelites, that they were looking forward. And then in verse 13, there's this huge transition. He says, and you were included in Christ. He's talking about us, which is the great mystery. It's a part of the great mystery of the New Testament. It's part of the great mystery of God, that under Christ, he takes both the old and the new. He took the true Israelites and he took us and engrafted us in to be a part of Israel. You are included in Christ, having heard the gospel and believed. And then we were marked with a seal. And who is the seal? The Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Holy Spirit. Anyone been convicted this week? Raise your hand if you've been convicted this week. That's proof you're born again. That's proof that you're on your way to heaven. It's proof. If you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, come talk to me. At first, I'll play the Holy Spirit for you, and I'll dope slap you a little bit. I won't. But if you hear the Holy Spirit's conviction, if you're starting to do something wrong and you feel that sense that it's wrong, that's the Holy Spirit. That's proof that you're a child of God. It's proof that your destiny is to spend eternity with him. And all to the praise of his glory. It's all to the praise of his glory. Now we're going to do a real brief recap. Look at these things. You are saints. You're recipients of grace and peace. You're blessed in Christ. You're chosen. You're predestined. One more time. You are saints, holy ones. You're recipients of grace and peace. You're blessed in Christ. You've been chosen. You've been predestined. You've been redeemed. You've been graced with grace. You're included in Christ. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Are you guys awake? By the way, this is all one verse in the Greek text. From verse 3 through 14 is one verse. Talk about a run-on sentence. Try diagramming it sometime. It's hard. Man, it just keeps it. He just adds on. And here's one of the most important things. It's not because of who we are. It's because of who he is. It's not because of us. It's because of who he is. He is. Who is this person? He is our Abba Father. It is Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty. The Lord God Almighty is your Abba Father. Is your big brother, Jesus. Is the Holy Spirit that's abiding in you. That's who you are. That's who you are. Here's table talk for this week. How important is knowing your identity in relation to living the abundant life in Christ? How important is that? Please talk about that today. How important is knowing who you are in Christ? Second question, what image, now here's a real important one, what image most naturally comes to your mind? Are you a would-it that comes to your mind? Or are you a child of the King? Which one, when you just think, who am I? Third question. How do the truths contained... Now, this is a unique question because I'm actually asking you how you feel. Have you noticed I almost always ask you how you think? How do these truths make you feel? As you apply the truths, how might your self-image be transformed? Please kick around those questions, or if the Holy Spirit brings you other questions, follow him. One last thing. See this rascal here? You can hardly see it. I used to have this as a poster, and I lost it, but I went online, and I made 75 copies of this poster. It's 8.5 by 11. If you would like one, we have 75. They're in the back. They're right back there. What's your name, bro? Mr. Barry. Mr. Barry has 75 copies of that if you would like one. I just put them on photo paper. If you would like one of those, it's about who you are in Jesus Christ. It's all these wonderful promises. If you need a reminder, you can put it on your desk. Moms, you can put it on your refrigerator. Whatever you want to do with it. There's 75. If we run out of them, let me know. And if you want one, I'll make a copy for you. Can we give thanks to God? And the songs we sang today, who I am. Who I am. Princes and princesses of the King. You're one or the other. Unless you don't know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're in deep weeds. But if you know Jesus, you're on your way to heaven. If you don't know Jesus, please talk to me or one of the elders or someone that you know in the congregation. If you don't know him, please. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain because God loves you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. Plans to bless and not harm. To give you hope in the future. Amen? Please stand together with me. Let's just thank the Lord and then sing praises unto him. Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we went so fast through these verses. But they're truth. They're real. I ask that your word would continue to be active like a double-edged sword. I ask that you would cut away the lies that we're believing and that you would replace them with your word, the living truth, the reality of who we really are. Please, please replace the stinking thinking of this world and the lies of the enemy with your truth and your word. I thank you for each son and daughter of the King that's here. And also thank you in advance for how you're going to use us this week to be salt and light. I thank you in advance for how you are going to use us as salt and light. And I thank you in advance how you, Holy Spirit, are going to work in our lives to apply these truths and how we are going to encounter you. Please break through all of the stuff and touch each one of us for your glory and yours alone. And Holy Spirit, the things I don't know how to ask, I thank you that you are interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so, Abba, Father, together, we pray these things, and we pray them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus.